Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, a really positive weekend in Minnesota sports outside of the Gophers. Chipper is here. Let's start with the most discussed business in town, the Minnesota Vikings. They're in trouble. How deep is the trouble, Chipper?
It is not good, I would say, when you look at their offensive line situation. And I don't know, you know, there's it doesn't look like there's a quick fix there. Ryan Kelly, now with his fifth concussion, second this year already, you got to wonder, is this something where you start to evaluate his career and whether he keeps moving forward?
Right.
Brian O'Neill, we'll wait to see. I haven't heard the results of the MRI, but that didn't look good.
Sounded ominous, right? Just the reading the tea leaves.
And you look at it, Chad, the amount of pressure and quarterback sacks that they're taking, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz, because of that line,
it's not
sustainable.
It's historic. I looked up some data where it's like top five or six. I mean, and obviously it's a fewer games, but that's it.
Sure.
I mean, you could put Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patty Mahomes back there, and they're better than who the Vikings are putting out there by far, but eventually it's going to fall apart.
Well, you can't be consistent. Not when you have that kind of pressure and you're taking those kinds of sacks, because then you're in third and long all the time, and you can't throw the ball down the field, which we know Kevin O'Connell wants to do. They finally started to go to the quick game yesterday and got into a rhythm. And you're like,
I was surprised.
I just don't understand. Like, when you're having these line issues and you're giving up the pressure, as much as you might want to grit your teeth, but you're going to have to go to a quick game and get it out quick because you just don't have time for these long developing plays down the field. And
it was smart.
It worked, and the Steelers, you know, I have no idea what they were doing at the end. But the other thing is, Chad,
yeah,
look at their run defense.
Yeah, I was going there.
Like, that's not an injury situation. I you know, I thought that group would be a lot better, and they've really, I mean, the run defense, it's been one of the worst in the NFL so far.
Steelers came into the game, Chip, averaging less than 3 yards per rush, which is hard to believe in this era. 31st in the league, and it was 4.5 yesterday, and if you watched it, and we both did, I thought it was about 6.5. It just fell higher than that. They just had a few that got completely stoned. But let's be honest. They brought in on both sides of the line accomplished players, but players later in their career – some with injuries, and you were taking a chance, and we both endorsed the idea. I mean, from Spielman to Kwesi, the offensive line, and kind of the bigger guys on the defensive line haven't worked. And they brought in the guys they did, including drafting Donovan Jackson, and you thought, okay. And not just us, but people really know analyzing thought it made sense. They haven't played or haven't come close to living up the hype, because it's one thing to say, again, with the defense against the run, it's Bijan Robinson. Was not Bijan Robinson yesterday for the Steelers.
Well, they're down there, you know, their best running back. So it wasn't Bijan. And
right.
You're right. I mean, you think about it, Chad. I was thinking about this last year. They basically hit on every free agent, right? I mean, everyone they brought in either hit expectations or exceeded them. That's an outlier. That's not going to happen every year. I mean, it's almost an anomaly. You're going to have, particularly when you're having veterans come in who are older, who've had a history, injury history there, we shouldn't be surprised that some of this is happening. And so this, and it's also a byproduct when you don't draft well, that you have to rely on older free agent veterans. And so
that's a great point.
The Ryan Kelly one is concerning. Obviously, you get to focus on his long-term health first. And we've had two concussions in 4 weeks. I just don't think we're going to see him for a while. And
who knows how many other concussions he's had, too. I mean,
those are documented, yeah. Yep. I mean, you'd love to think that they're all documented, or that, you know, every one of them has been, you know, documented by a doctor. But, I mean, who knows? But, yeah, that's a scary situation for him. But you're right. I mean, you look at Jonathan Allen, Hargrave. These guys were brought in to solidify that run, or that middle interior of the defense, and it just hasn't happened. And so they have a lot of, you know, they're 2-2. But with these injuries, I just don't know how they're going to be able to sustain anything, any kind of consistency. It feels like it's going to be a week-by-week thing, and just, you know, I just don't know how they get on a roll and really establish any continuity with those kinds of injuries.
Chip Scoggins is with us. We're talking about the Vikings. Check out Chip's excellent work, Star Tribune, on a regular basis. I mean, and then when you analyze 2-2, if they were going to have an 11-12-plus win season, and it's so hard to predict all the games, but you would have said they're going to beat Atlanta at home, and you would have said they're going to beat Pittsburgh in a neutral site game because – the daunting schedule is coming, plus the first game they won, they needed the horseshoe to win that game. You know,
yeah.
And they beat the Bengals thoroughly and due praise, but Joe Burrow didn't play in that game. You know, so they get credit for that blowout, but nothing really has been consistently impressive about this team.
Well, that's it. You know, game one, it was awful until the fourth quarter. Game two was awful. Game three, it went sideways because of Rodgers scoring two defensive touchdowns. I mean, that game just...
Yeah, right away. I mean,
that was a weird game. And then this one, you know, they don't play well till the end again. So it goes back to... I think, that, you know, I don't like using injuries as an excuse, but there is a big drop-off in their backup offensive linemen and their front guys. I mean, it just is. And it's... they're just not able to sustain anything, and they're giving up way too much pressure on these quarterbacks. And it's just, it feels chaotic to me when you watch them on offense. It feels like it's rushed. And if you ever, you know, if the quarterback gets any kind of time, that's like a benefit, right? Cause it's always, I mean, the pressure rate is so high that they're facing. So, and then the defense is not, I thought that Brian Flores' defense would really shut teams down and they would allow them to maybe win some low scoring games, but the way their run defense is performing right now, it's just, they're not up to it either. So
no,
yeah,
not close. I mean, the defense, so many people are talking about the offense for all the reasons, the defense, and it's some pretty telling stats when Cashman is on the field and when Cashman's not on the field.
Correct.
Against the run. So now all of a sudden, and again, every team in the league has injuries. The ghost of my father's not invading me right now, where he basically thought only Minnesota teams had injuries and the other teams always had their starters no matter the sport. But when you start taking out Cashman and Van Ginkle, and then Harrison is, I don't know, he's like your lefty you bring against the great lefty hitter. He's out there and then he's not out there. Like, I was trying to pay attention. Uh-huh. When he was playing yesterday, he played like 20-some games. All right, let's switch to the QB. I thought he had some pretty good moments. I thought he looked like an adult again, but he still is Carson Wentz. He's not going to be able to manufacture a win with just his brilliance, but among their issues, he's not my top three or four.
No, and obviously the biggest difference to me from the week before was they could run the ball.
Yeah.
He ran the ball.
Right. Yes.
Against Cincinnati. Yesterday, Mason had, 57 yards or so. They could run the ball. So if you're asking him to drop back almost 50 times, that's not going to be the recipe for success, right?
No.
He dropped it 46 times. He attempted 46 passes. And so, yes, he had moments, and he you know, he did some nice things, but he also had some Carson Wentz moments.
Yes. Right.
For one, you can't take the grounding there. I mean, you can't take that side grounding.
The amount of guys who just instinctively do that, and that play we've watched so many times, the play works as an incompletion one out of 777 times. It's just you're just adding more to your sack.
I know. It's it was. I mean, for a veteran, that was that was a bad mistake. I couldn't believe that game was even in that position. Some of the decisions that Pittsburgh made were baffling.
So let's get to that. The fourth and one at the Vikings 40, 68 seconds left. You're running the ball most of the day at will. God, I run that ball. I go for that every single time. It's like Mike Tomlin went back to the 1940s with that decision.
Well, I even go back to the other one where they allowed him to go for it. Allowed Aaron Rodgers. Okay.
Yeah.
To me, you kick the field goal because then the Vikings have to have two long touchdowns.
Yes, 100%.
Two touchdowns instead of
100%.
But then, even if you're going to do that, you ran up the middle.
Ran.
I thought was weird.
I think PJ called him. Said, "Hey, I'm going to rebound. I have to pass the ball more now, but I really miss my old running style. Go ahead and run it right here."
So that was bizarre. But then I agree. I would have gone for it there, but on that one, the second one, I can sort of understand because if you don't get it, then they have a short field, field goal. But what I don't understand is kicking the ball through the end zone.
No.
Like, don't you try to get it inside the 20, the 15 to make him go the long field to get it instead of the.
Yes.
It was bizarre.
By the way, Jordan Addison, are you running still, buddy? I mean, I watched that. First of all, I can't believe I'm watching because I got the Ryder Cup. I almost tweeted, thank you, Vikings, for allowing me just to watch the Ryder Cup solely on one TV. But then he gets it, and what happened to Speedy Jordan Addison? I mean, he's got like a 7-8 yard head start on some. God, was he a linebacker? I'm forgetting.
I think he's hybrid safety or linebacker.
Yeah,
but it was. Yeah, I didn't think there was anybody who was going to catch him when he got caught. It was like credit to that guy because that.
Yeah.
They trimmed a minute off the clock because of that play.
Okay, so last thing, and then we got to pause because we got to get to Cheryl, the loss. We got to get to the Twins.
Yeah.
So much and. By the way, Drake Lindsey was great. Okay, let's say they beat the Browns, which is no automatic. Okay, absolutely no automatic. You get the bye, and then you get the teeth of the schedule, and at that point, the kid is ready. What do you do?
Oh, boy. I'd probably put him back out there. I know if he's healthy. If he's 100% healthy, he can move. I know you're facing four Super Bowl contending teams, but
including starting with the Eagles.
Started with the Eagles, but I guess it also depends on what my offensive line look like.
Right.
I think that probably has to factor into it. So, do you want to? I don't know if I'd put him out if you have three backups in there and then you risk losing his confidence there, or ruining his confidence if he's taking a beating. I don't know.
See, I thought about that too, and I wrestled with that because okay. So let's say they beat him and they're 3-2, but now we got the Eagles, we got the Chargers, we got really good teams, and then let's say there's no O'Neal, there's no Jackson at that point, maybe Kelly's out, and you're thinking this year was about a lot of things, including winning, but also finding out about JJ. So are we only going to play McCarthy when all the circumstances are ideal? Because that rarely happens.
Yeah, you could argue it both ways. It's like it's never going to be perfect condition for him. But also, you want to give him the best chance to succeed.
Yeah.
If he's getting pressured 40% of the time and constantly running, I don't know. I want to ruin the kid's confidence either. So, it's going to be a difficult decision for O'Connell to figure out which way he wants to go with that.
Let's pause with Chip. Cheryl Reeve really accepted that loss well. When Cheryl had that quote, Chip said, I accept an L as well as anybody, I'm thinking. No, you don't. I think we witnessed that repeatedly during this great run. Back with Chip in moments.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The officiating crew that we had tonight, for the leadership to deem those three people semifinals playoff worthy is f-ing malpractice. I can take an L with the best of them. I don't think we should have to play through more than what they did. We got players. I think it's f-ing cracked.
Well, there's a lot more at Cheryl Reeve after losing Friday night. They lose last night when she suspended and their best player and the best or second or third best player in the league is not playing. Where do I start? Let's start with this. Was the suspension appropriate?
Yes.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it was so over the top. I didn't think there was any way that she was going to be. A fine was not going to cover that. Not just the post game, you know, remarks about the officiating, but the way she stormed on the court and had to be, you know, held back from getting after officials and then screaming at the fans as she was going up the tunnel. I mean, I don't think they really had much choice.
None. In fact, if David Stern was still around and had an involvement, she would have got 5 or 10, you know. Let's stay with her for a little bit. She is an eventual Hall of Fame coach. She is great at what she does, personnel and coaching. She was able to rebuild this team after losing those stars, and it is a tremendous accomplishment. She also is, to me, Chip, is a classic old-style coach that the two of us have been around so many times and is incredibly stubborn. She has had to battle so much stuff to rise the popularity of women's basketball, and she's played an enormous part. There are times I feel like she's right feeling aggrieved. Other times I think she's searching for things. I don't think she handles losses very well. I also think the officiating in this league often is incompetent. But there has to be some level of composure. I get it. Mm-hmm. Standing up for your players, bravo. But she lost complete control. I mean, she lost complete control in the court. She lost complete control, and she knows, she knew 100% when she was saying that. And by the way, two other head coaches, including Becky Hammon, were like, yeah, I didn't hear one thing I disagree with. But she knows that team just flat out has a better chance to win the game when she's coaching, and she knows what she's saying. She's a very intelligent person. She knows I'm cooked, at least for a game, if not two, when I go off the way I did. And for that, she's got to own up to that responsibility.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this stems from the fact of, what did they do this year, Chad? They went all in.
Yep.
I mean, this was pushing your chips all to the center of the table, got rid of young players to basically build for this year with the free agents, with the veterans. It was all about winning number five this year.
Motivated after last year's final game.
Yep.
Where, by the way, it wasn't just the officials. Bad calls, no doubt, including the last one. But they also screwed up. But, yeah, you're 100% right. Keep going.
So that is your background. And then you have the best season in team history, the best season in the WNBA. You get the number one seed. This team looks like it is really, you know, firing on all cylinders. They look like the prohibitive favorite to win it. And then you get to game one, and you absolutely choke it away in the fourth quarter. You have a 20-point lead.
Game two.
Yep. You have a 20-point lead, and it's a series of meltdowns. You have a 5-second violation.
Right.
She doesn't call a timeout to prevent it. They don't foul. I don't think they ever recovered emotionally from that.
That's coaching malpractice to me. Those plays.
Then you get to the game, and all of a sudden the fourth quarter is falling apart again.
Yep.
And And Phoenix is a physical team. I mean, they are a strong physical team that really plays aggressively. And it just, you could see it building. And I think she just, Cheryl, and to, you know, her players to some degree, lost control. Just absolutely lost control in that moment when she saw it slipping away. All this that they had built for, this, you know, saw it going away.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost control.
Yeah, I had Jim Pete on after the game two loss, and your column was, both your columns that week were just pressing. They were right on. And I said to Jim, man, they just look like they're more physical. And Jim was talking about the Lynx defense, and they do have good defense players. But they play the way they're suited to play. The Lynx are more of a finesse team, right? Now, they're not complete finesse because Fee's a great defensive player, and Alana Smith was co-defensive player, right? But there isn't the physicality that the Mercury have, and they just play to their strength. And that's why Cheryl is so ticked off, because she knows the two approaches they have, and she's going for that whistle. But you have to do it. But the number one reason why they lost that series is what you just said. It's game two. It is game. You are in total control of the series. You're at home. You've won game one. At that point, Chip, they look like they're clearly the better team. Right, it's just you're going to get Vegas, or is somehow Indiana going to get here, and they, combination of the players and her, bleeped up that game, and choking was a part of it, and that's just a fact.
Well, and if they're up 2-0, I do not think they're losing that series. I just don't.
Nope.
You're going to Phoenix. You're feeling good. They're going to have to beat you three times in a row. I just don't see it happening. And Chad, they were up, I think it was 5 with a minute to go, and just had a series of unlinked-like moments and decisions and plays where they couldn't make a shot. They had turnovers. They had, you know, the inbounds play that was they couldn't get in, and not the foul when you have the, you know, an opportunity. It was just they gave it away, and I honestly think they never recovered from that.
Foul or not a foul on the play?
I think it's a foul. I do. I mean, it was clean to knock it away, but the extra, you know, when you run into, and I know there's debate, and I think people that are
a lot of
level-headed about it. Yeah, I think people see it both ways.
Yeah,
because clearly the poke away was clean. That part was clean, but the follow through, to me, I think it's a foul.
See, I think if you're making a natural basketball play, and then the contact happens, and the ball's already away, then I don't think it's a foul. I know the league rule is kind of gray on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to say, okay, I know how it's written. And so every time I see it, then I know. But it's such a subjective play. Again, I lean to non-foul. But clearly she's watching this series slip out of her hands. Everything you've just said, and she's looking at her superstar on the ground and saying,
mm-hmm. yep.
we're getting screwed.
But,
you know? All right, let's...
And then she came, and that's when she lost control, So.
Yep. All right, let's get to... I know you followed the Twins very closely the last 6 weeks. I've been keeping... I've been keeping score at home.
Every game.
Likelihood that Derek Falvey and Rocco Baldelli have their exact same positions when spring training begins next year?
I would say I'm more confident saying Falvey, yes, and less confident in Rocco. If you read the Polad stories in our
another one today. Reed Forgrave. I thought it was very interesting that. The first one, Tom Polad. I've met Tom once. Very nice guy, more at ease in talking. So I thought it was interesting that the first one was Tom talking as much as Joe, but then, you know, the Joe with Reed. Again, Reed's one of your really good reporters. I thought it was notable, too, when Reed points out how Joe is trying to be very precise and thinking his way through his words. Because on this station with Jason, when he talked about the payroll – caused all sorts of issues, and rightfully so.
And I think he was well aware of that quote, how often it's
yes.
recycled. Yeah, and I talked to Reed throughout the process there, you know, he wanted to make it balanced. And I thought he did.
I
thought
do
he
too.
Absolutely hit the mark. It was a good profile.
Really well done.
But Chad, when you look at their attendance, lowest home attendance in, you know, I think team history, right? Or certainly Target Field history.
Target Field history, yeah.
Are you really going to run it back without any changes? And I'm talking about substantive changes. I'm talking about like a field coach or, you know, like substantive changes.
Superintendent's killing them. I mean, the grounds crew, that's what I see right now.
That's right. I just, Larry DeVito, you got to go. That's it. I'll be surprised. You know, I just don't think you could do that.
Do you think if we're just deciding who bears more responsibility, isn't it more on Derek than it is on Rocco?
Yeah. Well, I always start at the top. I mean, it was his plan. It's his plan, his players. It's not certainly not to absolve Rocco of any blame, but I tend to go to the top when it's this big of a mess and this much dysfunction and this you miss this badly and it's this really kind of crisis where your organization's at. I think you have to go all the way to the top.
Great as always, man. I really appreciate it. I love having you on. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Chip Scoggins. We didn't even talk about the Gophers and the kid quarterback who looks like he is absolutely the real deal. 35 past 2 on CCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.